Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. Very excited to welcome Music Record Shop on sponsoring this episode. Music Record Shop is a premier record store featuring the largest selection of new vinyl in the St. Louis area, as well as new cassettes, CDs, and used vinyl. They offer hard-to-find titles from your favorite local St. Louis acts, as well as world-renowned bands. Official store hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. or later. Located in the heart of the Grove at 4191 Manchester Avenue, right in between the demo and the ready room. Find them online at musicrecordshop.com, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tell them the Rock Paper Podcast sent you. Are you and your friends trying to figure out what to do tonight? Hit up do314.com, the best place to find out about all the concerts and comedy shows and art openings and other cool stuff going on around St. Louis every night of the week. They're also giving away tickets to shows and festivals all the time. Go follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at do314. Take it from me, I'm always trying to find shows, and this is where I go, do314.com.
Hey, this is Rec.
Chris.
We are the Hush List, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Up the dust when you start to see yourself again. Butterfly feeling has me hanging from the ceiling. I'm floating in air and I'm never coming down from here. I hope these letters keep your mind from chasing dark and
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 92.
Woo!
Hanging out with the Hush List. Two members of the Hush List. Chris,
the pretty ones.
Yeah. Chris and Rick. Welcome to the show, guys.
I like to call us the brainchild of the, the project.
Thanks for having us back on the show.
Yeah.
Definitely. We appreciate that.
Yeah. So, you guys got a big show coming up August 8th.
We do.
With Highly Suspect at the Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room.
In the Duck Room.
Tickets are $10.57
yep.
in advance and $12 the day of the show. So,
yeah. This is actually one of Donnie Fandango's like new music showcase shows.
Yeah.
So, we've only done a few of them, I think. I actually went to the last one. At the Duck Room, it was X Ambassadors.
Okay, yeah.
It was
a couple weeks back.
Sold out as fuck. I can say fuck.
Surprisingly.
Because we're on a podcast. And it was sold out, and it was amazing, and like all of the point staff was there. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I didn't know them at all, the X Ambassadors. And then it was Fallon, I think, or something. I was like, week later, I saw them on there or something like that, or well, it was on my DVR,
yeah.
But like it was a
2015.
I finally caught up to, and they were on there, and I was like, man, these guys are good. So, but I was kind of late on that one, but
I had to travel up the train.
Yeah.
There's too many bands out there, so
it was good. A lot of people seem to really know their music and be singing along. The I'll say the front man has like a fantastic voice. You know, he's no Chris, but I mean, he has a fantastic one.
I'm blushing over on the side.
Totally, apples and oranges. But fantastic voice. I was really impressed with his range, actually.
Yeah.
It was a good show. So I'm looking forward to our show with Highly Suspect. I'm highly excited for it.
Plus, it's an intimate little spot, you know.
Yeah.
We've played there once, actually, the first show that we were, well, we were called the Leopard at the time.
Right.
But it's always been the Hush List. We played there, and that was a very, very rewarding, like receptive type of crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had heard us. We had no intentions on. Well, we had no expectations on being able to carry that far, and it just kind of gelled. But that's pretty much how this group is. We just gel, and you know, when the tough situations come up, we usually seize the day and
try
and enjoy it.
Carpe diem.
Yep, indeed.
What's up? I think it's out cold or something like that. They say, carpe diem, seize the carp or something.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But yeah, when, I think I missed them, but didn't Highly Suspect just play Point Fest too?
They did, yeah. They were.
I didn't go, so how was it?
I didn't get to catch their set, actually. They were really early in the day, but I heard they were great.
I had a bunch of friends on the pop stage, so I was over there watching them all rock out. So
that's always a family affair over
there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was Paula's Daughter, Hollow Point Heroes, City of Parks, a bunch of my friends. So, I missed them, but I heard a lot of people talking about them. So hopefully that buzz keeps rolling, and you guys get a good sold-out crowd, too. So.
It seems to be pretty strong. I mean, I've definitely been the last couple of days doing my research on them and watching their videos.
Mm.
And I mean, they're definitely striking the pan correctly, you know, to get, I guess, the most flash that they possibly can. So there's people riding behind their trail.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're doing very well. I mean, we're kind of doing the same thing that they're doing is, and I think a lot of bands now are doing it, is kind of holding off on unleashing all of the material that you've been working on for the last year or two, whatever it takes, but instead of giving you everything, giving you little pieces, so it kind of just keeps you coming back. It's a reset. It's a nice little refresh, you know, every couple months.
Right.
So I caught on to that, and I love that type of mentality. So I think that is a good way for us to fit in with. I mean, to be honest with you, we don't fit in with a lot of bands. We play. We have a large variety of different genres of music that we touch, and this band's kind of on that same level. They're bluesy, they're rocky, they're kind of all over the place. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be a really good turnout.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like I said, Duck Room's just a cool spot to see any show. So Should be a lot of fun that night.
Absolutely.
It's just you two? There's nobody else?
So far, I think I talked to Donnie a few days ago, and he said that he was thinking about they may add one more national. Because most of the new music showcase shows have had three bands, so they're probably round out the bill with one more. Mm-hmm. So that's even better.
Yeah.
It is kind of cool.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been down there a bit. They're always good stuff, but yeah, there's a good one coming up this weekend. I guess for now. I don't know, you might be able to go back in time, but it's the Various Hands and Brother Lena Leather Jackals are playing down there. And
which is so wild because our keyboardist, who remains nameless at all times, he plays shows with us, Paul, he actually played in that band for some time, too.
Brother Lee?
No, Various Hands. Okay, yeah. So they've been trying to connect with us. I mean, obviously, we haven't been able to do very much because we've really just been focusing on the material and you know, promoting and presenting it the right way so that we keep people around. But those guys seem like great guys. I mean, yeah, I'm sure that's going to be an awesome show.
Yeah, I just recorded with Jeff. Had him on for the second time. And, great guy. And they got some good stuff. And it's a good band. And so, yeah.
Good.
But, yeah, you guys, we were talking about the release stuff. But you guys put out the EP in April, right?
April. 18th of April.
So that's the... It's got Tell 'Em and Hush on there.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You got those two available, and that's on, are they on just on Bandcamp, or do you have it?
We've got our full website up, so you can actually purchase the CDs from there. All right. It's shipped to you. I mean, we're trying to be as accessible as possible. We will be on. We'll probably get it on iTunes, and you know.
Yeah.
Once the album, we're kind of building up. To release another EP, we're basically kind of taking a different approach. You know, we've all had a lot of experience in the music industry over the past, I don't know, 10 years, whatever.
Yeah, let's just say 10.
All of us in different aspects and in different... And one thing that we've all kind of come to realize is that now it's a lot different. That the kind of the rules have changed and that there are no real rules. That the way to succeed isn't necessarily a big record deal anymore. That actually ends up doing more harm than good a lot of times.
Yeah.
Building it yourself and connecting with your fans on a very organic level seems to be kind of the way to do it now, the best way to do it. That's the most rewarding way for us. But the thing is, it's hard because nobody buys records anymore.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot of people don't buy full albums. So what we did is we actually released the 2-song EP, and what we're going to do this month is release another song. Next month we're going to release another song as well. We're going to release a song basically every month leading up to a full-length record.
Okay.
So we're going back into the studio in September with Matt Amelung again. We love working with that guy.
Yeah, great.
And we're going to record another batch of songs. And then, man, I'm excited about the new material. Honestly, it's so, I don't want to say so different, but it's so evolved.
It's evolved quite a bit
from the older stuff.
And to be honest, for us, because we're very organic when we get into the studio or just even to a session together, you know, mm-hmm. It's creativity just all over the place. We've already outdated those songs because we've written so much more since then. So
that's the problem.
The band that is. So it's like, what do we put out now? What's more relevant to what we've already put out? It's kind of keeping track of that stuff, which is exciting because it's like you have that much material already, just starting band,
right?
That you can, it's sky's the limit. You can do whatever you want. If we want to release one song every month for the next 2 years while we're in the studio and perfecting our own stuff,
right,
then that's what we'll do. But, you know, it's kind of exciting to see how people are catching on to that and latching on to it, too. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I get contacted almost every single day with, when's the next show you're playing? You know, I didn't get to catch this. I didn't do this, you know. Where can I get your CD? And it's like easy for us because we've made it accessible from anywhere.
Yeah. So as we release a steady trickle of songs, I think that'll allow our fan base to stay a little bit more familiar and a little bit more current. You're not getting a batch of songs, an album, say, of songs that no one buys anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going to get an album full of songs that were written 3-4 years ago.
Right.
What you're getting is, look, these songs are just, they're new. We're writing them and recording them within the same 6-month period, and then releasing them directly to your ears. So it's like we're trying to get as much music out as we can in a smart manner without just blowing our load all over the place and just a record.
Right.
And then having to do that from scratch. It's a little bit of a different landscape now. So. Yeah.
Totally is.
You guys, do you know Decadent Nation from Colombia?
Not familiar, huh?
They come down here quite often, a couple times a year, and play through pops or whatever and various things. Anyway, I met them on a show one time and really liked their style. But they just came out with a new project, and they a very similar thing you guys are describing. They did a single a month, and then they paired it up with like original artwork. Each month you got the digital single. They would email it to you, and then they would mail you the physical artwork of like the corresponding art to go with each song. Nice. And then they're gearing up to put out the actual album now of all the songs from the last 12 months. So
that's cool idea.
Yeah, it's really neat. And it's kind of like, yeah, like you said, it's more of a practical sort of approach to it now.
It's a little bit more progressive of a business model, but honestly, it's kind of where the industry is. I mean, people are so single-minded at this point that they buy songs, listen to them a million times in a month, and then throw it out.
Yeah,
it's music has become so disposable to people anymore. So how do you build value with that? Well, you have to make a connection with your fans. They have to see where the music's coming from. They have to see the honesty behind the music. I think
and follow a trail and be able to figure it out and be a part of it. Feel like they're a part of it.
Absolutely. So it's fun. It's a fun process. You know, challenging, more challenging now than I think I've ever experienced in my years in the industry. Like, the way things work nowadays are so much harder. It's harder to not get famous necessarily, but to sustain success. Getting success is one thing, and that, you know, there's a lot more opportunity out there now than there used to be. The problem is that maintaining that success, people have such ADD with music that for them to latch on and follow you like they would a Pearl Jam in the 90s or a Soundgarden or a U2 or whoever, like, a lot of that has gotten lost. And so it's up to people that really are passionate about music, the musicians and the fans, the listeners that are really passionate about it, to keep that going as much as possible, because that's part of the art form of this industry of music is the connection between the fans and the band.
Right.
We're constantly reiterating connection in general.
Yeah.
You know, just
everything. We just want everyone to feel connected to us and to hear where the music is coming from, to hear the honesty. It's not some formulated, we're not bringing in a bunch of co-writers and a bunch of extra musicians. This is five guys sitting down, writing songs that mean something to them, writing the kind of music that they want to write. Yeah. Instead of writing to somebody else's expectations, they're writing the kind of music that we want to write and being able to put it out and honestly get your opinion, get what you think of the art. It's a very vulnerable process.
It is. And to be honest with you, all of us come from different backgrounds of music. Some of us are from metal. Some of us are from more alternative style. Mm-hmm. Heavy to a certain extent. We kind of all latch onto that. But it's been cool to be able to create with people like that, too.
Yeah.
All come to the same, into the same process and be like, look, this is vulnerable, like Rick was saying. You know, let's mold it the way that we want it to be. There's no time frame. We make the time frame on how it gets made. So it's been really cool. It definitely has.
Yeah, man. We should be expecting something, you said,
this month.
Yeah,
we're going to release a song called Letters this month. And we've got some artwork that also goes along with it that is very cool. It's all custom and it's all handmade. So it's definitely something that we'll be dropping on your little ears very shortly.
Nice.
It's been a couple of months, so I'm sure you're ready.
It's one of my personal favorite songs.
That's why we've kept it to this point.
I love this song.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Yeah, you guys, do you guys all write collaborative? You know, like, is it a pretty big group effort or
there's a core crew of people?
Yeah, it's a lot of, honestly, to tell you the truth, I mean, in historically, the way the band even started, it's always been about Chris's music. Chris is the primary songwriter. A lot of times he'll come in with a full song or a part or an idea, and then we'll build around that and we'll build off that. There are songs, I mean, there's been a lot of songs, actually, the newer material that Chris, Vic, and I, or Chris, Vic, and I, with Bon and Mike, you know, all worked on together and came up with. And they have, you can hear it in the song. Every place that we've ever rehearsed, oddly enough, has left an impression on the music.
It definitely has.
We rehearsed in our friend's basement for a while. Lux.
Yeah.
Let us rehearse in her basement. And those songs had, like, that's the stuff that we're releasing now. It's got a very, like, warm vibe. It's a little bit of, not softer, but definitely a little bit more alternative. Now, the newer stuff that we're getting ready to record, we've been rehearsing at Limp, at the Limp Brewery. And it definitely has a much darker,
very deep,
heavier vibe. I mean, it's more, I don't know.
I would like to say it's heavy. It's not as like heavy as people would say, it's got that mood, and that's exactly what it is. It's moody, mm-hmm. You know. It's
moody,
but it carries you along throughout the entire song.
Yeah, so it's plenty of energy. That's
exactly.
It's definitely our more, I don't know, our boldest statement so far. I think it's our most aggressive.
I think to sum it up, it's
which makes it sound heavy, but it's not heavy,
even though. I've come to the table with the majority of the songs that, even to now, I'm still coming to the table and being like, hey, let's work on this later. We've kind of just taken our time, you know? And when we get into a room with each other, because we can't do it every week. We don't practice every week because we're a grown-ass men and we have other shit going on. And we can't fund that right now, but we'd love to.
Right.
But so when we do get in there, we just try and make sure that we are using our time valuably. So when I come to the table, I usually have a couple weeks to prepare stuff, and I'll come and be like, look, this is the whole song I have. Here it is, let me play it through once, and then Vic's already chiming away doing his thing, which followed by Rec and then the rest of the crew. So it's definitely been a very organic process, and I think to sum it up in its simplistic form is that this is the first time we've actually written songs together.
Right.
So it was more of honesty saying, I have a skeleton of a song instead of, I've already got this already written, you just learn your part.
Right.
You know?
It's, hey, I have this chord progression, or I have these two chord progressions that go together, what can we do? And then we build, you know, we build on top of it.
And sometimes we'll write a full song in one night.
Oh, in 5 minutes sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
It just depends. Sometimes we'll slave away over a song for 6 months and just scrap it.
Yeah,
you just never know. I mean,
there's been plenty of stuff like that.
It depends on the chemistry, and that's one thing about this band I really love is the chemistry between us as musicians. I've played in a few bands for a long time, even for years, and toured for years, but never have I played in a band that had such natural chemistry with each other.
Right.
When we get in a room and start playing, it's like immediately we just kind of find
you don't even think about it.
We all fall into this pocket, into this place where we're on the same mood. We've all got the same vibe. I don't know how it happens.
It's like everybody knows their job, and they know it. They know it well.
Yeah, exactly.
Beforehand, we could be goofing off and being stupid, but as soon as we all are in line, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
I've been in a lot of bands and toured and done a lot too as well, but I think personally this was where it needed. My progression of music from when I was a little kid until now, it needed to take to this point for me to realize as a person that this is the direction that I've always needed to be in and come full circle,
mm-hmm.
as well as to be able to be educated in my own way and with the people that I've played with and the slew of bands I've been in to get to the musician that I am now.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm coming full circle in my writing and being, you know, as organic as I possibly can, trying to be as honest with the people in the room and everything else that's going on. So it's all ultimately it's been testing me this entire time,
right?
As being a musician. And I think that that's what any musician really would try and say, is that if they really thought about the progression of their time from when they started until now, it was a constant progression. If you've stuck with it for this long like I have, which is 14 years I think coming up, it's always been an uphill.
He only remembers 10 of them.
At least 10. Well, we cut it off at 10. There was 4 that we want to talk about.
A good example of one of my favorite songs is For the Birds, right?
Yeah.
A good example of the songwriting is For the Birds. Chris came in and he was like, guys, I got this song. Let's try to build something out of it. And it was just a simple progression, and he had a verse and a chorus, and it was like, man, this is great. Okay, let's make it, you know, let's make it a full band. And it was like, no, you know, this is one song that I think might be better stripped down. We all agreed, like, hey, let's just keep it simple. And then I think I said like, hey, why don't we play this at the end for a bridge or something? And I was like, that song was done in 10 minutes.
Yeah, no time.
And it is by far my favorite tune we have. Sometimes it just falls into your lap. And then other times you end up chasing and hunting forever.
Yeah. I hear that, similar message echoed a lot, like just listening to different interviews and stuff, and some of the, you know, catchiest, the biggest hits and all this stuff, it all comes from like a 5 minute song.
Sometimes it just happens.
And then, you know,
inspiration strikes.
Yeah. It's an energy. I mean, it really it is.
Yeah. Right. You get inspired. You can't, there's no on and off switch for that. You can't force that. All you can do is try to create the environment that fosters it.
Right.
But that it, there's no guarantee that you're going to be, that it's going to strike. You know, when it does, it just does. Yeah. It's right place, right time.
And sometimes it's a matter of just, keeping up with it. You know, sometimes this comes out and you just got to put the pen to the paper and, and let it take over and hopefully see what happens.
I've been graced. I had a little recording studio at home, so I've been able to just hit record as much as I possibly can and save every idea. So it's definitely, I've been so thankful that I've been able to do that. You know, it's saved me for a lot of the songs that we've written in this band. You know, I have enough of an archive that I can just be like, well, this may be the same mood that we're looking for, or this song will work too.
Right.
And we just have a Rolodex of stuff that we can just continuously keep throwing into play and see if it works or not.
Yeah.
If it sticks, then we'll roll with it. So the one thing I keep circling around is organic. I mean, we've really tried to pave the way to make this thing organic as possible. Mm-hmm. So that it's just free thinking. Sure. Because sometimes when you put the pen to the paper, you don't have your full thought. And that could stump you right there,
yeah.
You know, before you even start. So instead of giving the expectation that as soon as we close this door and you strike your guitar on, we're ready to go, we're warming up to it. We're seeing how everybody's doing. You know, we don't see each other all the time, so it's like, let's catch up real quick.
Yeah. Okay. So it's friend time. Not just let's write. It's like, hey, dude, let's hang out.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a numb feeling. And I feel like, I mean, I've been in bands where that has come down to it. It was serious, and this is what you're shooting towards, and nothing else is, you know, nothing else takes place. So I think that's one thing we've really strived to do for the last 3 years that we've been working on this project is remain humble with each other and just write honestly. When you're there, since we don't see each other all the time, you write to the best of your abilities. You know, you come prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really awesome.
Yeah. Rex said, mentioned Lux. She's featured on Tell 'Em, right?
Yeah, actually, she sings. She sings on Tell 'Em.
She's got chops.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Actually, yeah. It sounds really good. Her voice blends really well with Chris's. Honestly,
yeah, that was what I was going to say. Is listening to her on the radio. I mean, obviously she's got a great broadcasting voice, but you know, I never knew that she could sing until I guess it was
Tango
Ranger with the Leopard.
Yeah,
so I remember hearing her sing with Chris.
Yeah,
then
she used to sing with us live on that tune. Yeah, that's how it started.
Yeah, it was two years ago.
Probably two. 2012 was when we released Bradley, which was the first Leopard record, which was the gentlemen that are in this band now. So
she performed at a block party live with you, right?
Yeah. She's performed at a couple different places with us.
I remember that one.
She's a great singer.
Yeah,
she's very talented in multiple different ways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that history between me and her is pretty deeply rooted. I mean, we've been friends for a long time, so that kind of came naturally. I knew she had always had a voice, but she really didn't want to speak in that way, in that form. And I kind of pushed her into it and pressured into it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know we can do this. Just follow what I do. And we'll make this work.
Yeah.
And it ended up becoming a very organic process as well. It was really awesome to experience that together. Which, second time around, when we started doing Tell 'Em, it was a no-brainer. I mean, there are songs that I do now that I create where I'm like, Ashley will be on that song. It'll just keep happening. Because she's a main part of this. She is a main supporter of us. She always has been. She always will be. And she adds a very nice, clean style to it. So
yeah.
If you listen to the song too, the lyrically, Chris wrote it. I mean, the part needed to be sang by a female.
Absolutely.
It just made sense, and it was something that we had been wanting to have a female voice on one of our songs for a long time.
Yeah.
It's something that we've always liked incorporating because it adds a whole nother element.
Right.
And Lux was just the perfect fit. I mean, you know, great voice. She's got history with us.
Yeah.
So.
That's a...
It'll keep happening.
That's a kind of a crazy thing with song, too. The fact that, like, how, you know, like, somebody can write a song, you know, a male, and then it'd be sang by a female, mm-hmm. and totally change the feeling and everything of it.
Oh, it completely changed.
Same words.
Entirely different context.
Yeah.
Even coming to the table when we were in the studio, and I'm like, absolutely, I want her to come in. We're doing this.
Right.
My eyes were wide open whenever it was actually happening, because it was like, my expectations weren't that that's what it was going to be. We were going to have this really chill session, and you know, we were going to coach each other and try and make this happen. But it was more or less if she was comfortable enough with us,
right.
and with the music and how she feels about it. She's passionate. So she came in there and was just straight boss. You know, we had a little session beforehand and talked about it. And then all of a sudden, boom, we walked in there and we popped it out in about 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's been the best rise that me and her have done in the studio together. So I can only imagine what the future is going to be
like. I guess a week ago, I got invited to be a celebrity judge for the Funny Bone comedy competition.
Oh, nice.
And it really wasn't like much of a celebrity sense. They gave me a paper and allowed me to judge.
Right.
It wasn't like they were like, you know, red carpet and, you know.
It's authority, though, but.
Yeah, so it was just, you know, honestly, it was just an honor to be.
You're the guy pushing buttons.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, there was other judges. It wasn't just me, but I got my say, and it was fun. And Tim Convy, he's doing some stand up now.
Yes, I actually saw him at that ex ambassador show at the Duck Room.
Yeah.
I talked to him for a while, and he was telling me all about it. Like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
He was probably performing when you were there.
Yeah,
awesome.
He was in the finals and very funny and. But he made a joke about it, but it was very, very good observation as well. But he brought up the song "Respect" by Aretha Franklin and how, you know, it's become this, women empowerment song and all this. And he's like, but the song was written by Otis Redding, and it was all the way he sang "Respect" was more like a euphemism for, you know, getting some action at night and stuff, and so and like they took that same song, you know, that song, and now and then it was sang by a female, and
yeah.
and it becomes this anthem, you know, for it's just kind of funny how a different artist takes a take on it and spins it, and then
it's true.
But just I don't know, it's just one thing I love about song and stuff, just the fact that. It's all open to interpretation and different.
That's the key word right there.
Yeah.
It is. It's a full form of interpretation
yeah.
for everyone. And I think that's ultimately how I write music.
Right.
And I try and focus on that when I'm writing new songs, is that I want it to be as open as possible. Even when I write the lyrics, you know, like I sit down with Rack and Ashley's, you know, they're present as well. And we really try and focus on what the message is, you know, because. It's scattered in my brain. It makes sense to me, but as soon as it's on paper, it's like, how can we make sure that it is open for anybody to be able to be like, well, that's attractive. I can relate to that. That's happened in my life. Or, well, that could take a storyline, and you know, you could run with that as well.
Sure. How do you guys feel about those? Like, you know, when people ask you to like tell you about the, you know, like what the song means and stuff like that. Do you ever get that?
Yeah.
I mean, like. As a fan, like, sometimes it's cool, and then sometimes it can kind of just ruin it because, like, you already had something else in your head that was different,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, when...
It's better than not knowing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, I mean, not that, you know, it ruins it, but I'm just like, it's sometimes your brain takes it a totally different way, and you're like, oh, this is
right.
how I feel about it,
yeah.
and then somebody tells you it differently, it's like, oh, now it's got a different vibe to it. And
that's the thing, I mean, would you ask a painter yeah. what they meant by their painting. You know, it's art. It's open to interpretation. You should leave it open to interpretation. I mean, my personal opinion.
Yeah. I do. I mean, not necessarily exactly what the song means, but I do like, you know, even doing the show, it enabled me to do a lot more of it. But talking to singer-songwriters and getting kind of stories that led up to the songs and things, and how, you know, how these songs kind of came about. And so I just, a fan of storytelling, and you know, but you know, not to was like, not to where they break it down completely, like, oh, this is what I was thinking, this, you know, whatever. Sure. But this is, you know, it's fun to hear kind of where they were at when they wrote it and how it came about. And but yeah, that's some of my favorite episodes. You know, just to be able to hang out and talk, you know, like that, talk songs like that. And,
playing a song, playing a little tune.
Yeah, I mean, kind of add on to exactly what you're saying. For the Birds was written in about 10 minutes. I'm not joking you. I had the lyrics almost instantly, and I mean, a lot of the meetings took place later on. You know. But it always meant the same thing. It was just about, I'm not a really big fan of writing about heartbreak and about, you know, relationships going horrible. And I write more about overcoming life obstacles and, you know, paying attention to the signs that you're given,
right.
You know, your natural instincts, at least more now. And For the Birds was more of just a commonplace for that love hate relationship that was, you know, you felt like you tried everything you could have, but then later on, at the closer towards the end of the song, you realized that you had it all the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of just in relating to what you were saying, just the story.
Yeah.
To sum it up for you, that's what For the Birds is. It's a relationship that was on the outs and somehow in that last second was clenched in the realization of, this is the most important thing that makes me who I am as a person.
Yeah.
You know, it's the drive that I have to do what I do. So there you are. But I can play a song for you for that.
Yeah, man, let's hear it.
The song's called For the Birds. She wants to walk beside me, so I don't care. She says that she can help me, but I don't buy it just yet. I said I loved you so long ago, but I can't remember when. Said you never stopped loving me, but hell with this, don't give up. So I want you around, but I can't share it. I said I'm leaving town today. I can't see your face there alone. I know you used to talk about me to all of your friends. Now I sit here and watch this one die with regrets. Yeah, yeah. Whoa, she loves the idea of me. She don't know the real me. She
said I want you around. Share this. Said I want you around. Share this. Said I want you around. Share this. Said I want you around. I can handle it.
Yeah, man, beautiful.
Tasty,
that
little
really
butter.
Nice. That made me feel good.
Good.
Warm and a little fuzzy.
Oh, yeah, man.
We'll release that. That'll be on the second part of our record that we'll release.
Yeah.
We're shooting for, I mean, to be honest with you, if we're going in September, probably take us about a month to record everything. We got to get it mixed and mastered.
Looking at the end of the year.
Yeah, December, maybe early January.
Yeah, so we're looking at a full-length release about then. Again, you'll have heard all of the songs up until then.
Absolutely.
Already, but it'll be a chance to purchase them as one album.
Right.
You know, one complete album.
Think you pulled that one out on the 8th?
That one?
Yeah. It might be a little on the diet side for the 8th.
Yeah.
We might have to do some of the moodier stuff.
Yeah, we got to do some heavier stuff. Trust me, man. I've been... It'll come out.
It'll come.
Right. It will. It will seize its day.
Stuff like that, I mean, you know... My personal taste, but I love you know, if you could just do, like, I watched Seether at Point Fest, speaking of that earlier, but and in the middle of the stuff they kind of stripped it down and went they just sat there at the end of the stage acoustic and they did like Broken and stuff, and it's like,
sweet,
you know, when they're just jamming and rocking and then all of a sudden they bring everybody in and it feels like that, you know, that amphitheater feels like you're in the...
It creates an intimate session.
It's such a cool thing to be able to bring. So, you know, it's not that crazy to bring out an acoustic in the middle of the set, but it's...
I mean, that's how I started the Step Back Leopard, so
yeah.
I was doing all acoustic.
Right.
So I'm very familiar with that. I do love it. I love the transition between. It's something fresh and different.
Right.
It will have its day in the sun, though.
Oh, yeah. Man, I was thinking, you know, just hearing it too, like thinking of like, you know, those like Alice in Chains Unplugged and all that kind of stuff. Man, we just
love
I love all that 90s Unplugged MTV stuff they did. And
heavy orchestration.
Yeah.
Man, they did it right. Especially Alice in Chains.
I mean, right.
That production was ridiculous.
Yeah, what, he had that on that bass. He had like "Friends Don't Let Friends Cut Their Hair."
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that was a pretty amazing, pretty timeless performance.
Absolutely,
I love that record.
And that needs to come back. That stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, me in general, I'm trying to captivate a moment that's already happened. You know, the remember wins, because I feel like that's what a lot of us live on. Is we haven't seen anything as good as it was back then.
Yeah.
You know, the bands that were rising, I mean, even the late 90s, Radiohead, and you had,
this
is tons of bands.
You know, we're all 90s kids, so I mean, we all came up listening to grunge, like, changed my whole world. That was my first introduction to rock and roll, was grunge, so it was like, I mean, that stuff left an impression on us. So we, of course, you know, nothing has really quite lived up to that era for us since, because, you know, it's gotten a bit, we've strayed away from the raw and gone more of the polished.
Yeah, there's more of a market for it.
Yeah.
You know?
People just want their auto-tune and their, you know, really slick, easy-to-digest songs. And there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. They want to tune out, they can tune out.
It's about a famous face and a good song.
That's not really what our music's going to do.
No.
I don't know that we're going to appeal to those people, but where we will appeal is the people that really love music and they want to connect. They want to feel honest music that they can, like, relate to.
Definitely. Yeah.
I'm going to bring up...
But that challenges them.
One thing in a text message that happened a long time ago between me and him, we were talking about the band, and we were talking about excitement. You know, it's the perfect thing, man. You said, we may not be the biggest band that comes out and break away into the next thing that happens, but I think the most important thing is that we influence the next band that breaks out.
Definitely.
Right.
Because I honestly and personally, I think that you live on longer by that.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, the ones that came before us, that's how we still thrive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, There's bands I listen to now that are more of the modern style of listening, but I always click back and go and listen to an Eagles record, or, you know, or listen to artists that knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And it's cool, too, to be able to, like, to like a lot of our influences collectively as a band come from bands that were never huge.
No.
I mean, they had some level of success, obviously. That's how we heard them. But in their era, they weren't huge. And it's like, those are the bands that, well, they may not have had mainstream success, they influence more people than they probably realize.
Absolutely.
And that is, I can tell you firsthand, as a musician, that is the most rewarding thing.
Is
to see somebody imitating your art, or somebody influenced by, you know, what you're doing. I mean, that is like the ultimate payment, because God knows we don't make.
Which is fun. It's funny, because that's kind of like the jealousy that goes on nowadays. Is you ride a gravy train of a band that's blown up.
Right.
That's how most people in the industry. That's the perception of most bands, is we're the next Fall Out Boy. So the next 10 bands get pumped out and they all sound the same.
Right.
It's like, there's always this like banter that comes with it, that is, you're ripping me off, or I'm suing you because you took this from me. And it's like, why don't we just skip all that bullshit? Let's go back to a normal formula, even though it's not what's being used right now in modern, you know, radio and in the industry. We still take some of those little aspects of the original formula, like bands that we used to love, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and we do it in our own way. It's an open platform. I mean, if you really think about it, if you're smart about it, like we are, and we think about every move that we make,
right,
you can do whatever you want, you know?
Right.
People latch on to what is important now. It's more important to be around for longer, you
right.
know? So give them little bits at a time. Keep them more informed on what's going on with you. Make them feel like they're a part of your family, you
right.
know? Make them feel like they're a part of your writing.
Yeah, what do you guys feel about Dave Grohl?
Oh God,
who doesn't like Dave?
Yeah,
I meant Jesus.
He's like, I think he's like doing exactly what you're saying. Like
he is the perfect example
on a major level. Like I just saw a post, well, one, even the first before all that, the fact that he like broke his leg and still played, and then like, I think that's awesome.
Canceled a week of tour and came back and was like, screw it,
right.
making a throne,
yeah.
and I'm just gonna rock out.
But the somebody shared a thing where he said something like, somebody held up a sign saying, hey, I want to play drums or something like that.
18-year-old kid, it was his birthday or something. Yeah.
So Dave brings him up and he's like, well, how do you make it feel more like family when you bring an audience, people out of the audience and say, hey, get up here and play. Let's
yeah,
play.
18th birthday?
Yeah.
Okay. Come on.
And that, you know, in that moment alone, I'm sure he's definitely a fan already before, you know, obviously being at the show, but now, you know, that impact is going to change that guy's life, you know, to where, you know, it's just going to be like...
Because it was genuine.
Yeah.
And it was, he is this writing superstar that everybody looks at, so there's people that badmouth and there's people that love him, like
yeah.
me and Rack and you. It's just like, there's nothing that person could do right now, I think, that would just
yeah.
trump him off his pedestal. And he, rightfully, he deserves it.
Yeah.
Because he's doing things the right way, and he's constantly pushing it in your faces, like you just said. How much more family-based or oriented could this be?
Right.
I don't even know you.
Yeah.
It's your birthday? You tell me it's your birthday.
Yeah.
Get on stage and play drums.
Yeah.
We don't go to that extent
sure.
yet. You know, that would be great. But, you know, we try, and I think that's what we try and hone on the
yeah.
most. That's the most important thing for us.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a big thing for me. It's like we're all in this together. We're all, you know, equals in a sense. You know, it's like we're, you know, we all make it possible. I mean,
right.
you guys wouldn't be here without the fans, and the fans would, you know,
absolutely.
You know, so it's like we all in the circle together. We all have a part.
It's
and,
true.
You know, it's like we all have to work together to make this show the best it can be, and make this band the best it can be. And
that's
all
truth.
It.
I mean, I don't think there's one show I've played in the entirety I've been playing music where I've never won. Thanked the
yeah.
fans for coming. I mean, that really is the most important thing. I've played shows where you've had the sound guy, a bartender, and two people.
Right.
The locals. You know, to 500 people in a show. So,
yeah.
I mean, you learn to be as humble as possible.
Sure.
And the more that you can make the people come out, that come out, make them feel special, and make them feel a part of it, they're just going to keep coming back.
Yeah. That's why I support local music as much as I do, just because...
You definitely do.
Because I have that interaction, you know, where I can... The feeling, one, of being in a small, intimate venue, and then the fact that I can hang out afterwards and, you know, have a drink with you guys right. or whatever.
It's like, I'm off, I gotta go, yeah. sorry, I'm this person for now, but yeah. then you see a different person.
Right.
Absolutely, you do a great job at that, man.
Thanks, man.
And you help out a lot of bands in St. Louis, and that's exactly what we need.
I'm trying to do my part, trying to help, like I said, man, if one of us breaks out here in St. Louis, and it's going to just ultimately shine a light on everybody else.
It'll be a flood, man. Yeah. There's so many artists and so many talented people in the city.
Right. Right. I mean, you look at, like, I mean, it's, you know, just because it's the most recent example, but, like, you know, when Nelly broke out of St. Louis, like, everybody looked at St. Louis for, like, hip-hop stuff, you know.
Absolutely.
Other bands coming out, and it's like, and, you know, ultimately we got, like, Chingy and stuff, you know, like, but...
Hey now.
Here they come.
Yeah. But, you know, just like I said, it shines a light on the whole scene, and we're all going to benefit, and so we might as well work together and not try to, you know, fight each other or put each other down or whatever. It's just
absolutely.
Like, we all here for a good time and put on the best show. And
just enjoy it.
So I've been trying to do my part to, you know, support all my friends, and we all have a good time and make a good show.
But, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us on.
Oh, man, this has been fantastic. I've been, you know, like I said, I've been a fan for a long time, man. It's,
thank you, man.
I always think one thought I can never, just always sticks with me is, and every time I hear it, I think of it too, is you doing that Jimmy World cover at the pageant.
Yeah.
It's
a great song,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, sure. What's a...
American.
Yeah, American. Yeah, man, that's... So anyway, every time I hear it, I think of Chris getting down on the stage at the pageant, man.
That was a fun night.
A firecracker, that one.
Yeah.
Firecracker.
It was a good time. We want to get there as soon as we possibly can again. That's the best stage in St. Louis, the pageant.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
love
man.
That place.
Looking out, looking from the stage outwards, I mean, it's breathtaking. I can't even explain. I mean, that show was 2,000 plus sold out.
Sure.
And it was an opportunity that I'm so thankful that I got. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great night. Well, cool, man. Thank you guys for hanging out. August 8th, come out to Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room.
Be ready for an intimate session. It's going to be awesome.
It'll be fun.
10:57, The Hush List, and Highly Suspect.
Highly Suspect.
Was it 8 o'clock or something? Or?
I think doors are already
8. Yep, 8 o'clock. Okay.
That's another thing. I like that they kind of do things just a tad bit later. Than,
absolutely.
Right.
So kind of give everybody a chance to get off work, get down there and stuff.
Yeah, which is nice.
Which could be cool, too, if they don't put another band on this.
It is a Saturday, though.
It's going to push us back a little bit further, so, you know, it may be a 10 o'clock show.
Yeah. Some shows, you know, like when they start at 7, it's like, man, it's tough to get across town.
Right.
You know, so,
right.
Even when you desperately want to go, you're like,
yeah,
I just can't do it.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
But that's
the world's ending in a song.
It is.
Yeah,
it
fairly
there.
Certain apocalypse is happening. Right now. And we're here doing this.
Sorry, man.
Fuck them.
Maybe someday they'll find this recording.
Right.
And you know.
Like, what the hell?
I mean, your building is burning down.
Burning to the ground. All right. Thanks for having us, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, so definitely. What's, you guys got Facebook, Twitter...
Twitter, we've got Instagram, the website is thehushlessband.com, our Bandcamp page is thehushlessband@bandcamp.com, you can find the music there, and as we keep putting more music out, we'll make it more accessible to everybody. So.
Yeah, go pick up the EP, what is it, $3 or something like that?
$3.
Yeah.
$3.
Yeah, that's a...
Hell of a deal.
That's less than a value meal, man.
You get some music.
Yes, that's less than a foot long.
It's
nice. It could possibly kick your teeth in.
It might kick your teeth
in. And it lives on forever.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks a lot again, and we'll see you August 8th.
Sounds good.